And it hits me, oh my gosh, this is that triangle.
You know, there's explanation for everything that occurred in the Rendlesham Forest incident that doesn't involve aliens at all.
It was completely silent. It comes right over our heads.
He saw a classic flying saucer, really, standing in a clearing.
He turned over to my father and held his hand, and he looked in his eyes and he said, "We're not alone."
Welcome to Podcast UFO for our live show. We're live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Dark Matter Radio Network. Please remember to visit the website podcastufo.com for past episodes, blogs, and forums. During the show, feel free to participate live in our chat room. And don't forget to like us on our very active Facebook page.
Hi, everyone. This is Martin Willis. And the first part of the show today is going to be pre-recorded, and I had to pre-record on Sunday, May 10th, just because I'm recording with Philip Mantle. He's in England, and he's not able to actually be on the show live, which is in the middle of the night, and I'm going to be away at a show for work, actually, so I'm not going to be able to cut out any time during the day. It's just the way it had to work out. The whole show today is going to be dedicated to the Roswell alien slides, quote-unquote. First part of the show will be Philip Mantle, and the second part of the show will be Kurt Collins. He is going to be speaking on behalf of the Roswell Slides Research Group. Now, of course, between Monday and Wednesday, there is going to be a lot of changes the way this thing has been escalating, so Kurt will update us on the live, and right now, in just a second, we're going to be bringing on Philip Mantle, and he is the editor of UFO Today. And a couple of things first. I just want to say that thank you for all the people that support the show. And if you'd like to find out information on how to do that, for $1 a month or more, that's just 23 cents a week, you can sign up on our sidebar at podcastufo.com. Just follow the instructions. And Alejandro Rojas will not be on the show this week. He's on the high seas on a cruise, and I'm somewhere in a hotel. And so we're going to get moving right now with Philip Mantle. And one more thing, I'm going to say this. We're going to get over this. The whole UFO field, I think, is going to get over this. And we want to put this behind us. I'm not going to talk about this every week. This show is dedicated to it. And then we're just moving on from there, because this is a black eye in the UFO community, if you ask me. And Philip Mantle, across the seas, how are you?
I'm fine, Martin. It's nice to speak to you again.
Yes, I think this is the third time you've been on the show, if I remember right.
It probably, yeah. I'll take your word for that.
So, now, Phil, the first time you were on the show, we were talking about the alien autopsy film and your part in uncovering the hoax of that. So you got to, I'm sure when you opened the file on, like I myself did, and saw this image, right away I went, oh, God. You know, I mean, I just, you know, I addressed that in the last week's show. I'm not going to get into it. But, you know, the first thing I thought was, is what it actually ended up being. But, tell me what your reaction was in the beginning and how you got to work on this thing.
Well, you're right, Martin. I mean, I spent many years working on the alien autopsy film. And, you know, the parallels between that and the so-called Roswell slides, for me, were obvious. And I hoped, like everybody else, Martin, that I was wrong. And that when the reveal came just a few days ago, on May the 5th, that, you know, something would be shown that, you know, would be worthy of further study and possibly related to Roswell. Although we had our suspicions beforehand, as you know, Martin, some time ago, a blurry-looking right. image was released. And again, it's the way information was released. It's all being controlled by the people that on these slides. They're promoters, is what I would call them. And again, I'm not saying it's exactly the same as the alien autopsy film, but there are many similarities. For example, you know, Ray Santilli, who owned the alien autopsy film, let out little snippets beforehand. He got a number of people closely involved, me being one of them. He got his own experts to comment on the film before anyone else had seen it. And they were experts, Martin, and, you know, one of which was a well-known pathologist here in the UK who said that the creature was flesh and blood. So the parallels are similar there. Before anyone saw the film, there was bits and pieces released. There were some stills released in a magazine in France first. Here we are with the Roswell slides. We get a blurry image that's released. So the parallels were already building up before the reveal on May the 5th. And, of course, once we saw the clear photographs of this thing, well, you know, again, Martin, with the greatest of respect to the individuals involved, you didn't have to be an expert in anything to see that it was a desiccated human being lying on display in what looked like a museum display somewhere. He's even got a little info placard
right
on the front and one around the other side, and there's even another item on display. So it hit you right in the face that, hold on a minute, you know, this is not right. This is not what we're expecting. And, of course, I predicted in advance of this, again, using my experience, that any real research on whatever was going to be released wouldn't start until the photographs themselves were in the public domain. And that's exactly what's happened. That's exactly what's happened, Martin. Because, again, when I first saw the alien autopsy film, it was in Ray Santilli's office in London. And he, going back to the old VHS video days, he put it in the video cassette player and showed me. And I was just thinking on my feet, and I just thought, what we need to do is to get this film into the public domain, then we can really find out what's going on with it. Which is exactly what we did. It took a long time to finally get to the bottom of it, but nevertheless, that's what happened. And it's the same with these so-called slides. They've been released into the public. Some fairly high-quality resolution images have been obtained. I got a couple. And, of course, people better qualified than myself. In a variety of disciplines, Martin, you know, there are some that have used software on their computer to decipher the information placard on the front. For those who don't know what it says it's a mummy of a two-year-old child. And it's obviously it's on display somewhere. And what I did to start off with is I sent a copy of one of the pictures to a number of people in Egyptology, and I just asked them to comment, what do you think this picture is? A number emailed me back saying, sorry, the picture's not good enough quality, don't want to comment. Some did offer a comment, and then when I asked them if I could quote them, they'd obviously done their homework, and then said, no way you're going to comment me on this. There were a couple, Martin, and, well, I've got more than a couple, but I released a couple of names who said, it's a mummy. You know, they couldn't, you know, just by a quick look at a photograph define what type of mummy, where it might have originated. They just said it's either, you know, this, that, but nonetheless, it's a mummy. And when I asked if I could quote them, they said, by all means. And these were, you know, I checked online beforehand of their credentials, and they were certainly qualified, more than qualified, to make such comments. So I released that. And then again, you know, with the beauty of the internet today, Martin, you know, information spreads like wildfire. You mentioned Kurt and his colleagues at the Roswell team. I think they've done a fantastic job. And others have followed suit, of course. You know, they've taken their lead and have come up with all kinds of things. I even had a gentleman. He's well known. I can quote him. He's a more of a, I would say, a psychic soap paranormal researcher. He's Dr. Barry Taff, and he was fairly confident that he had actually seen this thing on display at one point. There was a small museum. I say small. I don't know the actual size of it, but it's certainly not the size of the British Museum or the Smithsonian. down in New Mexico, near the Carlsbad Caverns, I think I pronounced that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the Million Dollar Museum, and it was full of all kinds of items, Martin. You know, they're weird and wonderful. It may have ended up there at one point. We all saw that the is it the Mesa Verde?
Right.
Mm-hmm. They have a museum, and it looks like that the photograph may have been taken in that museum. Again, I believe that's in New Mexico. Is it the? Again, please excuse my pronunciations. I come from Yorkshire, Martin. I'm not even good at English. Never mind anything else. Is it the Pueblo Indians that lived in that place? But nonetheless, the Mesa Verde Museum looks like the likely location of where these photographs were taken. You can't be 100% positive, Martin, from a photograph, but the fixtures and fittings that are on display match. Furniture in the background match. Even the tiles on the floor look like the same. You can make comparisons between the two. And like I say, Dr. Barry Taff, he believes he may have even seen the item on display at some point. And you know, information has been obtained that, you know, such mummies were on display there. And, of course, on the placard, on the front, is a gentleman's name I can't remember, but he's associated both with the Mesa Verde Museum, and he may have loaned the mummy to...
Yeah, that was Mr. Yeah. S.L. Palmer, Jr.
That's the one.
Of San Francisco.
Yeah, because, again, and if we go back to that day and age, the rules and regulations on archaeology and artifacts of that nature weren't as strict as they are today. I mean, you know, you could go and dig anything up if you wanted.
Right.
You know, the regulations, thankfully, have changed since then. So when it comes to the placard, for example, Kurt and his colleagues were accused by their promoters of committing fraud.
Right.
They photoshopped the writing on it. But they gave online a PowerPoint presentation, if you want to call it that, but to show you how you can do it. So others, like I said, downloaded the software and have done exactly the same and got the same results, pretty much. It's the mummy of a 2-year-old child. And there's several colleagues have done that totally independent of Kurt and his colleagues. Well, that's what you call science,
right,
Martin? You know, many scientists, for example, will do the same experiment at different locations and see what result they get. If you go back to another famous scientific test, and it wasn't based on a photograph, it was the Turing Shroud.
Mm-hmm.
But when they took some samples of it, you know, they gave it to various locations, and they all came back with pretty much the same kind of thing. So, you know, the placard and the writing on it has been verified, as far as I'm concerned. I think there's 3 or 4 different independent sources have come up with the same results. What more can I say? You know, so we have, you can read the placard. There's circumstantial evidence that it may have been shot in the Mesa Verde Museum because of the backgrounds and the shelving and the display units and the flooring. We have several archaeologists that I've released the names of 2 of them who just said straight off the bat, it's a mummy, you know. They didn't go into any great detail, they just said it's a mummy. And we even have a gentleman who may have seen the item on display. I mean, all that pretty much adds up, Martin, and in my mind, it leaves the promoters with little place to hide.
Right.
I dare say they will try and hide, but, you know, there you go.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions for you, and that is, all right, so I don't consider myself any more intelligent than Jaime Mossein or Don Schmidt or Tom Carey or any of those guys. One thing, for the record, I'm going to say that I believe that most of the people involved in this were not perpetuating a hoax. I believe that they just, this is my own opinion, of course, but I think that they just had this wishful thinking cloud their judgment or something. But I think there is possibly one party, I almost hesitate to say the name, but he was actually corresponding with a friend of the show here that helps out the show, Adam do? You know, I mean, it seems like it mostly rests on his shoulders. I don't really know for sure. But here's my judgment on this whole thing. Like I said, I don't think I'm any smarter than any of these people that were involved at all. And, you know, instantly, everything about it screamed a mummy in a museum. First of all, why would a body, fresh body like that, look like that, even if it was burned or whatever? Secondly, why would it not be refrigerated or preserved in some type of way? And thirdly, why would it be in an open glass display case with adjustable shelves? All these questions came to mind instantly to me. And like I said, I'm not calling myself any brighter than anyone else, just as an observer. How could these people like Jaime Mossain, Tom Carey, Don Schmidt, all these people except Jaime has been on my show, nice people, how could this happen, in your opinion?
Well, that's a good question, Martin. And again, you know, I'm not going to, like yourself, I'm not going to sit in judgment over anyone. But one of the Dream Team, the Roswell Dream Team who were involved in this, is of course, Anthony Braglia. And today Anthony's held his hand up, yep, and apologized.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you know, it was a huge mistake. And he's blaming the gentleman you mentioned, Mr. Dew. I've had no correspondence with him. Is it Adam Dew?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's blaming him, saying that, you know, they were only given bits of information and the photographs weren't that great quality and so on. But like you said, Martin, you don't have to be a Professor Hawkins to look at the photograph and see what it is. You know the old saying, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, then it's a duck, you know?
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And you know, I've got friends that are not involved in ufology and know nothing about it, and I showed the picture to them, and they said, they were just amazed. You know, they could see it. They're not experts, you know, and they said, well, it's some kind of mummy.
You know, I got to tell you, I've showed the same thing. I work with a lot of young people in a startup company for my quote unquote, you know, real job right now. I'm involved in a startup, and you know, I showed the image to all the guys there, and they're laughing, you know, saying, "Oh, that looks like me after a night of tequila," you know, making fun of it and everything. But I showed it to one person independently, and she instantly looked at it. And this is just me, myself, showing the picture, not saying a single word. What do you think that is? And she said, it looks like an alien. I was shocked. So, I mean, so I can, you know, you can understand a little bit like someone might, if they have a vivid imagination. But to go all that way, and let's talk about the five-hour video. You know, that was a major undertaking for someone.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the presentation in Mexico, you know, I'm led to believe was excellent. I was going to view it later, but I subsequently learned that if you did access it online, a majority of it was in Spanish. Well, that's of no use to me. But again, you know, it doesn't matter. It has all the hallmarks of the alien autopsy film, Martin. The release of information is being controlled by its promoters, whoever you want to label them as, Mr. Dew, Jaime Mossain, whoever. You know, the experts that they get up on screen there who confirm X, Y, and Z are controlled by them. They're not independent. We have no idea what they've been told or shown. And Ray Santilli did exactly the same, you know. I think it was a Professor Christopher Milroy, who was a pathologist here in the UK, put out a written statement that the alien autopsy film, he'd been commissioned to look at it by Ray Santilli, and he said it was flesh and blood and couldn't identify it as a human and so on. But of course it wasn't. It was a dummy, you know. So, again, what I suggested I did a newspaper interview with somebody was that you must ignore any information that comes from the film's promoters. Just ignore it. You cannot accept, because it is being controlled. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a vested interest in promoting these slides.
Yep.
Not just saying, here we go, there you go, have a look at them, you make of them what you will. No, they have a vested interest. They said, well, what vested interest is that? I said, well, there's a money trail to begin with. You know, people had to pay to go to this event in Mexico, and he had to pay to view it online. And I believe there's a documentary called Kodachrome, either being made or in the making. And I'm right. You know, are they going to give that away free? I find it unlikely. And, you know, so there is a money trail. Irrespective, they have a vested interest in promoting this in a positive manner. And the so-called experts they got up on the screen, they are their experts. You know, we have no idea what they've been told. And, of course, when we go back to the placard, all of them involved, all of them, and that includes Carey and Schmidt, said it was impossible for the writing on this placard to be deciphered. It was too blurry, and they'd used this expert and this software. And,
right.
And, of course, once high-res images of it were released, that proved to be incorrect. You know, that you could decipher it. So they shot themselves in the foot there big time. But then you know, sometimes this happens when things aren't what they're supposed to be, Martin. And then the accusations came for, you know, that they realised their mistake. But again, like I said, this was all verified independently. I think there's three or four different sources done that. So they've shot themselves in the foot there. So, you know, my predictions, you know, sadly, so far, have proved it correct. I can't see into the future. I was just using my experience of being involved in this type of thing in the past, and so far, you know, I think we're correct.
Right. Now, what do you think? I'm going to ask this the same question to Kurt in the second part of the show, but first of all, it's a two-part question. Someone like Richard Dolan, you know, he's been on this show, and you see him a lot in almost every documentary about UFOs and things like that. There's Richard Dolan, and he was in, you know, he went down there and talked all about this slide, and how he thought, you know, it was really something and all that. And anyway, bottom line is he stood behind this slide as being real. He's had some angry supporters. One in particular wrote on his Facebook page, look, I went down, I was supporting you. I went down to Mexico, spent all this money. You owe a public apology, you know, and all this stuff. To me, I think it really, really hurts anyone's credibility involved in something like this. How could they be so careless? Well, anyway, that was one question, one part of the question.
Yeah, I mean, I, again, I'm not going to defend Richard. He's big enough to do that himself. But in a roundabout way, I can understand him going there. Bearing in mind, the promoters of this event paid for Richard's expenses to go down there. He wasn't paid a fee. And so he was there. They believe by inviting Richard, it would add credibility to the event. That's right. Why it's been done, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. Richard didn't make a presentation there. He didn't say anything. He was there purely as an observer. And initially, before the live event, he was shown the photographs, I believe, and he was very impressed. And again, in the auditorium, I believe you could have the Spanish speaking experts translated into English, I assume that's by earphones or whatever. And he was impressed by their statements. And I think it's only when he got back home and had time to reflect, and this is the way I interpret it, and you know, think about it, he said, well, you know, you must examine first what these experts have had to say. And then, of course, it proverbially hit the fan, and within no time at all, serious discrepancies were being found in the slides. Richard has obviously looked at these, weighed up the information or the evidence, whatever you want to call it, and then he released another statement saying that, you know, despite everything, he did believe it was a museum exhibit. you know, didn't state, yes, it's definitely a mummy, but it, in other words, it's not what they propose it is. It's something mundane. And as far as I'm aware, he's pretty much left it at that. Now, whether you can argue that it's damaged his credibility or not, that's a separate argument. But I can kind of understand Richard going there in the first place. I mean, it was a big event. Let's not kid ourselves, Martin. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you know, I know Jaime. I've met him several times. If he'd phoned me up and said, I just want you to come along, Philip, and we'll pay your flight and your hotel, and would I have turned him down? No. Maybe the curiosity might just have got the better of me and said, right, I'm on my way. I don't know. I can see both sides of the argument about Richard, but he'll defend himself. I think we should really take him out of the equation for now, because he's had no real involvement behind the scenes with these slides. The so-called some of the members of the so-called Roswell Dream Team, like Tom Carey, Don Schmidt, Anthony Braglia, have been involved,
right,
and have been making positive statements. You know, Anthony's held his hand up and said, we got it wrong, but he also claims that Adam Dew fed them incorrect information, or the photographs weren't that great, and so on. You know, but the others, as far as I'm aware, Mr. Carey and Don Schmidt haven't said anything as yet, which I find curious. They may be under a storm of protest, Martin. I think, you know, they'll be in a bunker somewhere. That's where I would be if I was in their position. You know, I'd have to be. We're celebrating the anniversary of what we call VE Day today. That was victory in Europe in the Second World War. Followed not long, of course, by VJ Day, victory in Japan by the American forces. But, you know, it just reminded me, watching the services today, I was thinking about this. I think it wouldn't survive. They should be in a bunker somewhere, And so I can understand Richard. I think maybe curiosity got the better of him. You know,
yeah, there was a video of him, you know, basically saying all the points why, you know, he believed this was not a mummy and stuff like that, you know. So there is a video out there of him.
Oh, I've seen it. But I'll give you another scenario, just to give you an example, Martin. In 2006, back end of 2006, I finally put pay to the alien autopsy film. I met and found the man who led the team that faked it. It was called Spiros Malaris. I interviewed him a couple of times on the telephone first. Then I went to his house in the south of England, viewed his documentary evidence. There was no question. You know, I finally proved it was a fake. We knew it was a fake, just couldn't prove it. And we'd been looking for this guy. We knew his first name for years, Spiros. You put Spiros in Google and see what you get, mm-hmm. You know. But the following year, and I hadn't released anything about Spiros, we were still working on it, a colleague of mine invited me over to the States, to Roswell, to the conference there, and he paid for it all. And he is a big supporter of the alien autopsy film. Even now, he still believes it's real. So I had this information that I wasn't, and he flew me over there, and I didn't really have the heart to tell him. You know, I really didn't, Martin. So whether, you know, Richard felt obliged to say something positive while he was there, you know, they'd paid for his flight and everything. Again, I don't know. I'm only speculating. I can understand that. But again, we should take Richard out of the equation, because he's had no real involvement. He flew down there, watched it, made a statement, realised his error, and has retracted it, kind of, when he's finally got home and had time to think about it. It's the others, as I've said, Mr. Braglia, Mr. Carey, Mr. Schmidt, they're the ones that we should be looking at.
And Jaime. Bradley,
you know, Anthony Braglia has held his hand up. Don't agree with everything he said, but he's apologised. Whether that will damage his reputation or not, I'll leave others to come to their own conclusions.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen between now and when the show airs on Wednesday either. But I give kudos to Tony for actually being the first one to come forward and admit the mistake. So the other part of this question is how do you believe this will hurt the whole Roswell investigation in general?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because the same was said over the alien autopsy film, Martin. They said, oh, this will damage Roswell, it will damage ufology, it will damage UFO research. But in reality, quite the opposite happened. What it did, it raised the interest in the subject. I mean, controversy sells, Martin.
Right, yeah.
I know we don't like it, but it does. It's put Roswell UFOs back in the news. Today it's maybe not the mainstream news, it's not your local newspaper or your dailies, but today it's social media. We didn't have that back in when the alien autopsy film came out. And it's gone absolutely ballistic.
Yeah, you just have to search hashtag Roswell slides.
Absolutely. So, yes, people are disappointed. They will make predictions that it will damage X, Y, and Z. But I would predict it will have exactly the opposite effect. I may be wrong, but again, I'm only using my experience from the alien autopsy film. I'll give you one example. When the alien autopsy film's interest in it was at its height here in the UK, I won't mention any names, but a UFO researcher and author had a book out at the time, and it wasn't me. And although she was very critical of the film, I mean very critical, her book sales went up. They had to do a reprint, you know? So I said to her, we've all benefited from it, not from the film itself, but from the interest it's generated. And I think it'll be the same here. Again, only time will tell, but to me, that's how it works. When there's ever a controversy and it hits the news, people become interested. They become engaged, Martin. That's the word I was looking for, engaged. You know, right. They start talking about it, start arguing about it, start falling out. Some will do their own research. You'll see people online now, Martin, looking at this film themselves, these two slides themselves, doing their own research. You know, whereas perhaps before they would just sit idly by and read it and go to the lectures and the conferences and not do anything. And whilst they might have eventually been disappointed with the end result, they'll be pleased of how they got there. If you see what I mean? They've helped, they've made a contribution. So I don't think it will damage anything. And as far as Roswell itself is concerned, an old friend of mine and a colleague who now lives in the United States, I'm sure you know him, Nick Pope.
Yep.
Formerly at the MOD. He said last year that Roswell was dead anyway. So whether this is the Grim Reaper hanging over it, I seriously doubt. I seriously doubt. Roswell is the one case that refuses to lie down and die. And exposing the alien autopsy film as a fake, as a hoax, as a money-making scam didn't kill it off. And I'm pretty sure these two slides won't kill it off either. Whether it damages the reputation of those involved or not remains to be seen. But you have to remember that the champion of Roswell, out of all of them, is Stanton Friedman.
Right.
Yep. And Stanton washed his hands of these slides right from the very beginning.
I think he took sort of a neutral, but yes.
Yeah, he would have nothing to do with them.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to Roswell, you still have its champion and the others, of course. And, of course, Kevin Randall. You know, mm-hmm. I know Kevin.
Right.
He, too, washed his hands of them and has written several items for it. It was written for our magazine at UFO Today about how the slides came about, the evolution, you know, up until they were released. And in that article, he hasn't said they're fake or real. He's just documented how it all came about for those that weren't aware. So, I think that we still have its champions, and Roswell will still go on. And there may be temporary damage, Martin. You know, it's a bit like a puncture on your tire. You know, it stops your car for a while, but you can soon get it. You'll soon get it fixed, and on you go again.
Yeah,
and I think the Roswell bandwagon will keep on rolling.
Right. Well, I think it was P.T. Barnum said something like there's no such thing as bad publicity or something. So I I understand where that's going. I might try to reach out to Kevin. He's been on the show before. See if he can chime in the second part of the show. Again, this is just speculation because this is Sunday and the show goes live on Wednesday. I jokingly said on a Facebook page that everyone involved should either hide under a rock or go to Scotland and start looking for Nessie on a permanent basis. But, you know, I think there's going to have to be a lot of damage control to, you know, try to salvage. I might reach out to Don Schmidt and just get his opinion. I don't know if he would even want to be chiming in at all. But I really think that Don, just in general, after watching him, he seemed really convinced. I think that Don just really bought it. You know?
Well, he may well have done. I mean, again, we don't know. We can only view the events, you know, and the comments they've made up until the slides were released to get, you know, an overview now of how they feel. I think is important. And what do they make of the various revelations that have happened, like the placard being deciphered and Egyptologists saying it's a mummy and all the other things. I think they'll have to. Well, Martin, at some point they're going to have to come out of hiding. You know, right. They're going to have to make a statement. So it'll either be, you know, stand with what they've already said, or like Anthony, hold their hand up and say sorry. You know, but we've made a big mistake here, and that may have happened while we've been talking for all we know.
That's
you know,
right.
Things yeah. with these slides are changing minute by minute. Not the end result, but more is being added. And someone said. And I was reading it just before I started speaking to you. What we need now, Philip, is photographs in situ of the same mummy taken by someone else. You know, another right. visitor at the museum and so on. And I said, well, yeah, you know, maybe it's out there. I don't know. But I said, I know for a fact that Hunt is on to try and find it. Now, I found a photograph that was very similar, not exactly the same, but certainly the similar type of thing from the same area. So the hunt is on, and if there are other photographs by, let's assume we're right, Martin, and this so-called Roswell slide, as I firmly believe, is a mummification of a small child on display in a museum somewhere, and it's not a very exciting thing. It's not King Tut, you know. I've seen him. I've been to Egypt and seen him, and he's not very exciting either. I've got to be honest, Martin. You know, you wouldn't take him to a party, you know.
Halloween but, party, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just one of a number of curios. It's not their main attraction by any stretch of the imagination. But let's assume we're right. It is a museum display. So there is a possibility that others have, you know, walked around snapping pictures and taking photographs of it. It may be now lying in a cellar somewhere. If it finished its time off at the Million Dollar Museum, as some people speculate it might have done, that's closed and all the items were sold off. But people are now trying to find where the items from there went, who bought them. And of course, again, with the magic of the internet, that makes it a lot easier. So, you know, things change rapidly and maybe they will find, a similar photograph taken in situ by, you know, Mr. Smith or Mr. Brown or whoever. So the hunt is on. So things will change rapidly. But it's going to be interesting to see how the film's promoters react. They've already said that the deciphering of the placard was a fake, that it was photoshopped.
Right.
But, you know, several independent sources have done the exact same thing. One of those independent sources is a colleague that I've been liaising with, and I supplied him with the high resolution images, and Heine Musan supplied me with the high resolution images. So they've come from the direct source, and he's come up with exactly the same conclusion. You know, that it says on the placard it's a mummy of a 2 year old child.
Well, so, I was shared a email chain that I believe I saw your name on as well, and that was from Jaime. Supposedly, I can't say for sure it was, But what is the size of a 2-year-old? Question mark. Answer, 23 inches or 58 centimeters, less than 2 feet. What's the size of this body? Answer, no less than 4 feet. They are faking this. Jaime.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He did say that. So I challenged him on that, and I said, how have you come to that conclusion? How can you back up that statement?
Right.
Show me the mathematical formula that will allow you to do that. It's a simple, if you speak, again, using experience that I've gained down the years in UFO research, you have to be a jack of all trades at times, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sending some photographs, alleged UFO photographs, to Dr. Brooks Maccabee. And he asked me to take some measurements. Basically, a guy was looking out of his bedroom window, took 4 snaps of an alleged flying saucer. So Dr. Maccabee asked me, could I get access to the location? Yeah. Measure from where the guy was stood to the window. There's some buildings outside, you know, in the background. Could I get the distance of them, which I did? These were basic photometric tests, which would then allow him to estimate the size of various things. Anyway, it turned out to be a fake. It was actually stuck on the window. So I said the same to Jaime. Okay, there's a woman in the background. How far away from the display is she stood? How far was the photographer stood away from the display? All these things you would need to know to determine an exact size, unless you have something in the frame next to this thing that you know is a common object, so you can measure its size, right, and then make comparisons. I said, you know, what camera was used? You'd need to know, you know, the lens. Is it a zoom lens, for example? Hmm. Well, of course, he says, Philippe, it's only guessing. Well, exactly, it's only guessing. In other words, they didn't know. So, you know, any information like that is worthless.
Well, also, for instance, the placard, when the placard was written, you know, the age was probably an estimation as well. I mean, or that could have been off. But that's besides
absolutely.
The fact.
Absolutely. You know, again, yeah, absolutely. A 2-year-old child. I mean, I've been to the Cairo Museum and look at some of those fabulous artifacts they have there. And some of those, believe it or not, Martin, just have a bit of paper stuck on the wall next to them to tell you what it is, you know. And there are other things in there that they've had for a while. Well, they're still not quite sure what they are, you know. But, yeah, it could be an estimated age. They're not saying it's the body of a 2-year-old child. What they're saying is that's what the placard says.
Right.
It doesn't say this is a mummy of a dead alien, you know. It says it's a mummy of a 2-year-old child. It may be an estimated age. It may have been tested, for all we know. And they've come up with the information that it's approximately 2 years. It was approximately 2 years old when it died. Who knows? But the point is, let's go down the other route, Martin. Let's say we believe firmly that aliens crashed at Roswell in 1947 and the dead bodies were recovered by the authorities, whoever you want to say they are, and they were whipped away somewhere. Are you then going to stick it on a glass shelf out in the open, with sunlight coming through the window behind, you know, with something else on display next to it, behind it, for all to see?
Yeah, that was a part of the spacecraft behind it.
Yeah, it's a desiccated body. So,
yes.
You know, had the Roswell aliens, the reason why it's crashed, that they dried out en route. And, of course, it's not damaged. It's not all broken and mangled up. It just doesn't make any sense.
You know, I've had I want to say friendly arguments with someone on this that was on the other side. You know, well, you know, and I know she's going to get mad at me for talking about it, but she said, well, maybe alien bodies don't, you know, decompose, like, so they didn't have to, you know, preserve it in any type of way. And we went back and forth for 2 days. And I said, you know, it's a museum, but it's not to say that, you know, I'm right, you're wrong type of thing. I think this has stirred up a major debate. And I wanted to ask you another two-part question. One, do you think there'll be any lawsuits? And number two, do you think there'll be any diehards that'll just keep hanging on to the idea?
Well, part one to your answer, I think it's highly unlikely there'll be any lawsuits. Again, you know, people ask me that same question about Ray Santilli and his alien autopsy film. But, you know, TV companies paid lots of money for it, they said, and it's not what he claimed it was. I said, yeah, but the TV companies also made money out of it, so how are we going to sue him? They'd have, you know, did by showing the film on TV, did their company collapse or whatever? And no, they made money out of it. You know, I think that's highly unlikely. One or two people might scream and ask for their money back, which I think is fair enough, you know, which is exactly what happened with Santilli in an autopsy film. When he sold copies of the film, he put a little rider on it somewhere that if you weren't happy, he'd give you your money back. You know, so people might claim their money back for going there. I don't know. Who'd be bothered? I mean, I don't think it was a huge fee to get in. So I think that's unlikely. As for the diehards, then one's already held his hand up and said, I'm sorry, which is Anthony Braglia, of course. There will always be the diehards that have dug their heels in right away. And I'm not going to mention any names and who will not give in. And they will make all kinds of lame excuses for it, Martin, and it will go on ad infinitum. Like I said, colleague and friend of mine who flew me out to Roswell in 2007, despite me telling him and showing him everything I've got on the alien autopsy film, thinks I'm wrong. Thinks it's all a pack of lies, not that I'm lying. And he believes in its authenticity to this very day. You know, so you will get them. Who it will be remains to be seen. But that's going to be the fun part, Martin, is to see how the promoters wriggle. And they will wriggle. Make no mistake of it. They will blame somebody else. It wasn't me. You know, they will blame somebody else. They will quote their experts until they're blue in the face. Or they will simply ignore any evidence that others come forward with. And they will restrict, if not, you know, not allow any further access to any information, you know. I think they've realised a big mistake by you know, they must have been overconfident, really, by letting these pictures out. Because I think when they showed it on the screen, you couldn't read the placard, you know. So they will wriggle. They will be the diehards. Who they'll be remains to be seen. I've got a couple of ideas, but I won't say anything. And, you know, they'll argue till they're blue in the face, but eventually people will stop taking any notice of them. And I've already got irritated with a couple and said, well, that's a bit disrespectful to you, to hear you say that, Philip. So I apologise for that. I wasn't very polite, but, you know, I'm a grumpy old man at times, Martin. I'm sorry, you know. So in answer to your question, part one, I doubt there'll be any lawsuits. Part two, there'll certainly be some diehards who will hang on in there. Others will fall by the wayside.
All right. Now, this is the last question for you. And that is, all right, someone comes to you and they say, all right, I have Roswell slides that I think are in Roswell, and I want you to handle this situation. And it's all up to you. You handle it. I want a big to-do about this, a big release. Here's the slides. What are you going to do?
Well, that's a good question because, believe it or not, a friend I had lunch with yesterday asked me the exact same question. He said, if somebody had evidence of this kind, he didn't say slides, he just said evidence, what would you do, Philip? Well, it's a good question, Martin. It's not as straightforward as you would imagine. However, I did say what I would first do, I would notify a number of colleagues that I know and respect, which is what I did with the alien autopsy film. In those days, there was no email, so I literally wrote to a number of individuals in different parts of the world that I knew I could trust, I knew I could respect, and they wouldn't let leak anything to begin with. And I wrote them and told them what Santilli was claiming, and I kept them updated, you know, and none of them breathed a word of it. So we kept it in confidence because, again, Santilli was promising me all kinds of things, and I'm telling him he's saying he's going to supply me with bits of film and bits of this. Of course, it never came. Huh? Now, had that changed, had Santilli given me some 16mm film with images of the creature on it, then things would have changed. I would have then been saying to my colleagues, I would not have kept it to myself. There is no way. you know, and I would be taking advice from them and saying, right, this is what I have. I maybe even make you a copy of it so you can see it for yourself, but I've got the genuine article here. What is the best way to go forward on this? And we would have worked together, you know, because, again, Martin, you know, we all have our, as we've seen with the release of these slides, we all have our own little bits of, I'll call it expertise, but I don't mean that. You know, people have got in touch with Egyptologists, with pathologists, you know, with computer experts. Once they've got their hands on the slides, they've all done their little bit of thing. And I would have done the same, but I would have done it collectively, saying, right, what's the best way to proceed? And when we came to a consensus, then we moved forward. I must say, I don't have any problem with people making money out of it if it's the genuine article.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a problem with that because let's assume, Martin, I've got a cracking piece of film here of X that I genuinely believe is authentic and we've had it tested, you know, here, there and everywhere, and I want to reveal it. Well, where do you go with it? Let's say we've gone down that track now, Martin, and, you know, these experts have authenticated it. They would have to go on the record. Like I said, there was a number of Egyptologists came back and said, I think it's a mummy, but don't quote me. So I'm not allowed to mention their names. So that's basically what they've said is useless, unless you're allowed to quote them. So, bearing in mind, again, you know, we have Kodak here in the UK. They were sat ready and waiting to go with a piece of film on the alien autopsy film. It never arrived. Uh-huh. And they were willing to go public with whatever they came up with. So it's a question then, how do you make this public? Do you do it on your own like they did in Mexico? What are your other options? You've got to get it out. You've got to make it public, Martin. Otherwise, what's the point? Do you go via a newspaper? You'll make money out of it, but so will the newspaper. Do you go via the TV? They're going to make money out of it. You will as well. But what you have in this instance with the slides is that the promoters of it, whoever they may be, the promoters of it have kept total control. They've decided where it's going to be released, by whom, you know, for how much, and what you're allowed to see. You know, if you take it to a newspaper, Ray Santilli, he telephoned one of the biggest circulation national newspapers here in the UK. And they said, well, we'd have to have the film authenticated first. Of course, he never went back to them. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So here, you know, so Santilli, you know, piecemeal sold it off. And the TV companies weren't bothered about authenticating it. That's not their job. You know, they're just there to make TV shows and make money. Simple as that. So in this instance with the slides, the promoters have kept total control over it until it's gone live. Then look what's happened, you know. So, you know, if you did have something that you that was genuine and it's not a fake or anything like that, there are many options that are open to you. You may, for example, take it to a scientific publication or a scientific organisation. Depends what your motives are behind it. You know, Santilli was honest to a degree, and he said, "I want to make money out of this film." He said it from day one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, excuse me.
I think Adam Du has said that to Alejandro Rojas in an interview, basically.
Yeah. Again, there's a financial motive behind it. But, you know, that makes you somewhat suspicious. So if you have something like this, for example, you know, Martin, you know, people here, and it does happen, use their metal detectors and find a Saxon gold hoard. It does happen. You wouldn't then just dig it up and take it home. You know, you go to the correct institute to verify it. Similarly, if you bought a house, Martin, and you found an old painting in the attic, you know, and it said Rembrandt on it, what would you do?
Yeah, I'd put it in a yard sale.
Exactly.
No. I'd go, of course, I'd get it authenticated, absolutely, which is very difficult to do, but yes.
Then you might want to sell it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's worth zillions. I can forget work. I can sell this. So there are many options open to you. There isn't any one right or wrong course of action. You know, it just depends on what your motives are. You know, your motives might not be financial. Therefore, Because when I met Santilli and saw the film, my motives weren't financial. I didn't have any financial investment in this thing. I just wanted to get it out in the open and get to the bottom of it. And Ray said to me, you know, your agenda and my agenda are totally different, Philip. And of course, he was right. His agenda was to make money. My agenda was to try and find out what the damn film was. And he didn't, no problem with that. So, again, we can only speculate here, Martin, and I mean, you know, that there is no right or wrong way to deal with this kind of thing. There's many different avenues you can go down depending on your motives. I mean, you know, I don't know, Martin. You might be a wealthy man. You might come across something like this, not interested in money, and go, hey, presto, here you go, you know, and give it away, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Phil, I'm going to cut this short just now so we can get another person on for a little bit of the first hour, and hopefully that may be a few other people besides Kurt Collins, but we'll see. It could be just Kurt. I'm not really sure. Again, this is Sunday, and the recording goes live on Wednesday. Thanks so much, and this is Philip Mantle, editor of UFO Today, and all you have to do is Google that, and you can get to his website and his magazine. Thanks a lot, Philip.
My pleasure, Marcy. Thank you very much.
All right, so hang in for the music break, and we'll be right back with another guest still before the top of the hour. Dialing in to Kurt. How are you, Kurt?
Fine.
And we're live now. That was pre-recorded. Thank you. And guess what, everyone? We have Kevin Randall coming up at 15 minutes after the hour to join us. So, Kurt, since we're live, I had to do the pre-record on Sunday. What has happened? All kinds of things.
Oh, quite a bit. And I just want to say that Philip did a great job of covering the information and processing what had happened. There were a lot of things happening just in quick succession. So I think he did a great job. You know, there are a lot of behind-the-scenes things, but as far as what surfaced and the way it's impacted, he did a great job. Just to update a couple of things, he said the million-dollar museum thing turned out to be a bust. There was a similar body there, but the other one that he mentioned, Mesa Verde, has been confirmed as the museum that the mummy was displayed in. There have been some matching photographs of the location. The placards are identical to other things. We have not located a picture of the mummy itself, but you can see the shelving, the holes and everything. It is it takes mental gymnastics not to put it there.
Yeah, and, you know, some people, I'll wait till Kevin is on. We're also going to talk about the people that are steadfast, but I'd rather wait till he's on for that. But let's talk about you basically broke the story on this for the Roswell Slide Research Group. First of all, can you tell us what that is, how many people are involved and all that, and how you got a hold of this whole thing?
Well, there's about 20 of us, and it evolved. It was originally just Facebook is a co-star in this story, I have to tell you, because it was a Facebook group of friends, and the one of the friends, Jose Antonio Caravaca from Spain, was in the group, and we had been discussing those slides, and he said, why don't we have a separate group to focus specifically on this, to share ideas and research. And we said, okay, well, let's do that. So we created a new group with a subset of our other friends. And it was, you know, a variety of people, skeptics and UFO UFO proponents. Chris Rutkowski is one of them. Stephen Miles Lewis, he's more of a Fordian researcher. I can name them all, but you wouldn't remember them. So if you look at the Roswell Slides Research Group at roswellslides.com, you can find our reports, and that represents the things that we have a consensus on. There's a lot of things that our individual opinions, we have posted our separate blogs and web Facebook pages and whatever. So, you know, there's... The and then there were other people that helped us late in the game. So it was really just a sharing of interests and resources, and that was really what made everything possible. And it was a joy working together like this. It was very open, and information was presented and shared quickly. And it was I think it's a great way to work, and a model of openness and transparency that should be duplicated for other projects. I don't know if we'll survive to do it again, but I think it shows what can be done.
All right, pretty soon we're coming up on the top of the hour, and we're going to take just a quick break, and then we're coming back at 9:15. We're going to be talking with you, but Kevin's going to join us. So there is someone in the message board that mentioned earlier that all she knew about was that they were getting, like, copies of the slides. No one had a high res. First of all, it doesn't make any sense that anyone even tried to, you know, de-blur this thing in the beginning. I mean, obviously, if they could do that from a second generation type of situation, then if someone had the original slide, they could obviously do it very easily. So I believe that falls on Adam Dew, but I don't know the circumstances. Do you have any input on that?
Let me see here, because I didn't really finish answering your question about what has changed. So let me check my notes here. One thing we can talk about this later is that there was a lot of confusion about the live stream broadcast, but Richard Dolan did appear and speak. I haven't seen it myself. I have seen a short clip from it. I think he gave a talk about 20 minutes long. I think the most of the focus of his speech was that how this could open up, snowball into some sort of disclosure or understanding. It was something. Really? It was sort of a closing message. I'm told it was fairly well received, though. Let's see if there was anything else here. Now, that really about covers it from Philip. Now, I'm you know, as far as what he said, Tom Carey and Don Schmidt have issued a statement in response. I guess one of the things you have to acknowledges they were still in Mexico when the placard was exposed. Mm-hmm. So they were not able to immediately respond. I think it probably ruined their trip, but maybe.
I would say so.
Okay. Well, I have a lot of questions. I don't want to make a lot of judgments, but there's some things that don't add up. The statement was not particularly favorable to me and my friends, I must say.
Yes.
Tom's statement in particular outright said that it was faked, that our results were faked.
They were photoshopped. But getting back, Kurt, just getting back to this one thing, did the person or the people that did the de-blur software, did they have a high-resolution image of this to begin with?
I'm not a technical person. I can tell you that at the time they had something better than what was on Adam Dew's website. And when he released it, that was what was able for everyone else to duplicate it.
I see. Okay. Well, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll be right back with you, Kurt Collins. And after that, we'll be right back also at 15 minutes past the hour with Kevin Randall. So hang in there. We'll be right back. That's a partial tune by a listener of the show, Bruce Rainier, and thank you, Bruce, for that. And so getting back to this whole situation here on the Roswell slides, we have Curtis Collins is on the line. Also, if you're listening on the Dark Matter Radio Network, you can jump over to our chat room and chime in, ask questions, and that's at podcastufo.com. You'll see it right on the sidebar. And there's a little corner thing you can click on the chat room that'll make it pop up in a separate window. Makes it easier to use. Kurt, so can you just tell the sequence of events on how this thing was? You said there were 20 people involved. And I want to make this statement, too, and don't worry about anyone slinging mud. You can say whatever you want. No one's going to sue us. But one of the things I was thinking about was all these people are involved. They're trying only to get to the truth. There is a lot of snippiness out there. There's a lot of people that were so disappointed. There's a lot of mudslinging. But the people that, let's just say the parties involved, are making it look like, oh, it's just the debunkers. The debunkers are attacking us. They're, you know, the skeptics, like it's a bad word. And all we're trying to do, or all the people out here are trying to do, is get to the truth of what these things really are. And like you said, you had some unfavorable comments. I'm wondering, what's your opinion, how long these people are going to stick to their guns? I think, I personally am just going to say this, and they can sue me if they want, but I think Jaime Mossain has such a large following that he may stick to his guns, because his word to his large following is more like God's word. And I think they'll listen to whatever he says and ignore anyone else. And I think he's got everything to lose. There's also books that are being written. There's a documentary film. What is it called? Kodachrome or something? Roswell Kodachrome.
That's right.
But anyway, there's all this stuff involved. And I know I'm totally scattered here, but I'll let you continue.
Well, the statement, you know, some people are calling this the fiasco in Mexico, and that's one of the kinder things you hear about it. And you're right, there has been some criticism. Certainly people are disappointed. But as far as our group, you know, our motives were just to find the truth, and it was a mixture of disciplines. And we said, you know, if we could have proven this was an alien, we would have shared those results, and, you know, that would be fantastic. But, you know, it's really a matter of proving what is and getting what isn't out of the way. You know, there is a whole lot of baloney in everything, really. Look at diet books or, you know, anything. If there's money to be made, there's going to be a fraud. I don't want to make a transition to fraud to Jaime Mossain, but let me say this. I have heard, I saw on Twitter that he was preparing to make a statement, and as of right now, I don't know what the statement is going to be, but he's apparently ready to say something. Adam Dew has been silent since printing on his website that our results were faked. Other people have duplicated it. You know, you heard Philip Mantle describe that, so I'm not going to go through that again. You know, it's genuine. The mummy has, I told you that the location is found, the photographs of the case, the furniture in the background, you know, that seems rock solid to me. So there's really not much point in discussing that. But here's a statement, and I mean, it's really long, so I cannot read much of it. And also, it's kind of nasty, so it's going to make me sound like a jerk if I read it. But they say... this was the Don Schmidt adjusted. We believe the recently released reading, they had that in quotes, of the placard by the so-called Roswell Slides Research Group is still open to debate. Now, that was toned down from fake or something like that. A few other highlights I just want to hit. Regarding the placard, we quickly determined that the content would be key to interpreting the slides. And then they mentioned a number of experts, and they all say, but don't present a report, say that the experts said it was unreadable. Our own computer guy says he applied the Smart DeBlur software to the placard over a year ago without any success. He did so again this week, an enhanced, sharper version of the placard with the latest edition without success. Now here's where he takes on a real tone. Now we are told, not asked, to believe that the cast of characters, one of whom has clearly become unhinged and was himself a party to a known UFO body hoax some years ago, has used the same program, Smart DeBlur, on a distorted screen grab of the placard and is somehow able to read it. When all of the above, some of whom have had much more sophisticated equipment and techniques at their disposal, could not, I ask you, what's wrong with this picture? So he's challenging our results. I can understand that. He has, you know, put a lot of time into this, some property, reputation, probably some financial stake in this. Just to close this out, He says, so what are we to make of all this? Jaime Maussan, Tom Carey, and Don Schmidt relied on the above to reach the conclusions that they have reached. They were not our conclusions, but the scientists we consulted. We have at this point in the proceedings have sent out additional copies of the placard image to third parties, whose opinions we can trust to run the Smart Deploy application on it, and are prepared to abide by their findings, wherever the chips may fall. That's where Tom Carey's statement ended, but Don Schmidt added, as to what Tom said this morning, if the independent analysis of the placard comes back in support of the opposition's read, then I will accept that read. I will remain a gentleman and concede that point. So it was toned down from the original, and apparently if they see results, they will accept them. So that was their statement, and that... there's probably a few other things, but that pretty much brings us up to date.
Now, let me just put it this way. Any of the so-called Roswell slide research group, are any of them letting their names be known?
Yes. There are a few people. Isaac Coy is a well-known researcher in the UK. Now, that's a pseudonym. He's a barrister. UFO interest does not go over well. So he, people know him, interact him. But, I mentioned Jose. I'm going to go through the list here. Jose Antonio Caravaca, I already mentioned. He's a key player, and he is more important than I can really express because, he got us together and really inspired us. Another one with the pseudonym, a man from France. He was the key to deploying he was the one that came with the idea to use this. He had actually talked about it before we had the image to use because of the poor quality of the leaked image. Nab Later is the name that he goes by. Lance Moody is a skeptic. He's actually a nice guy, except when he gets into an argument. And by the way, I want to say a lot of these people have been active on Kevin's blog and also Rich Reynolds. By the way, Rich Reynolds might be, if there are any indictments, he's a co-conspirator because he's the one that really broke the story and was sort of an instigator, encouraging both sides. And it was like one of those, let's you and him fight. But he wasn't part of our team. I just wanted to mention, though, that he is a player in the story. And then giving back to us, of course, Tim Hebert he's another skeptic. Now, he came in really relatively late, but he is, I believe his profession is a nurse, and he's in addition to being smart and knowing a lot of things, specifically he could help us out with the anatomy. And we had done extensive studies of the body, of what we could see, comparing it to mummies and the children of skeletons, and it matched up. And in my mind, it was solved before anything happened. But, without some sort of tangible proof, people were, certain factions were going to hold on to the story being presented. And by the way, that supporting story has not been shown to hold up in any way. It was almost as if you had drawn dots and then connected them yourselves. It's very sketchy. Let me finish out my team here, and then we can get some other points. Paul Kimball, he had a long history with some of the promoters of this, Anthony Bregaglia, for example. I have trouble with some of these foreign names. I believe it's pronounced Gilles Fernandez. He's from France. And by the way, I just want to emphasize that, we have people with different disciplines, different backgrounds, different interests. Some of these people they're more interested in photography than UFOs, but they all share an interest in UFOs and one sort or the other. Another anonymous one, trained observer, and one of the things he provided a lead on a mummy that was so close, we were convinced that it was the Smithsonian boy from Thebes that had come from Wistar. It was identified as 2397. Except for the skull, the condition of the body, the position of the limbs were almost identical. We couldn't see the missing leg because that was behind the placard. But that told us that the dimensions matched, and you know, he was good to that lead, to provide that lead, and also he made some good observations about the case itself. And he said, you know, this is open, this is not preserved, you know, it's not you not treat this like a biohazard material. But that, his name is Trained Observer now, Chris Rutkowski, and I know you've had him on your show. Now he was busy with the Canadian UFO report, the annual survey, and so you know, he would check in and give us encouragement, and every once in a while he would that, you know, so he was a good resource, and but he had real things to do, investigating real UFO stories and things. So but he was there with us, and Roger Glassell from Sweden, he was great too. He contacted the Dr. Hunt with the Smithsonian, and got us really looking at the physiological details. And he, and today, just today, he matched up a picture of the bench at the Mesa Verde Museum that's visible in the background.
So, I told Kevin I'd call him right on the button, and I'm going to have to apologize to the listeners because I was thinking I could dial without any without any beeping. But unfortunately, it's going to make a beep. So bear with me, everybody. You're going to hear you're going to hear me dial. I hope that doesn't mean you can. Hang on, just one second.
Well, while you're dialing, one other guy, Stephen Miles Lewis, sometimes known as Smiles Lewis, and he was the Fordian, and you know, he's a believer in. Or proponent, or very open-minded. So, you know, he was definitely our UFO and believer policeman. So,
okay.
You know, if there was going to be any.
I'm sorry, I'm dialing away here. How are you, Kevin?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. Kurt, meet Kevin. Have you guys ever spoke to each other?
Actually, once on your show.
Oh,
I called in once. Yeah, sure did. I can't remember the question, but it seems like I got a pretty good answer. And I've emailed you a few times. So,
yes, we have communicated through email.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot. I actually hosted one of your articles on my site. You had a Cash Landrum piece that that I shared. So, and yeah. So we, you know, touched a little bit, and through email and the internet, which is how a lot of people communicate. But yeah. So, okay.
Great. Well, Kevin. Kurt was just on talking about, you know, his involvement, and I know that you were really, I was following what you were doing too, and you were getting some great information. Do you have any, I don't know if you listened to any of the show, but I'm wondering if you have anything to add right now, but I'd like to ask you, what was your, I know what my gut feeling was as soon as I saw this thing. I can't even understand why anyone else's gut feeling would be that different. Anyone that's ever seen anything in a museum or seen anything displayed, what was your, how did it all come about when you first saw this?
I was I surprised about this whole thing. I have said for months and months that this was going to turn out badly. I feared it would turn out badly.
Hmm.
And I had not seen anything other than the screen grab that came from Adam Dew's little documentary that I believe it was a German group who managed to get that and circulated it. And I looked at that, and I just was appalled at the whole deal. The other thing was I had tried to figure out, based on the timing of this thing, if the slides were actually taken in 1947, what could they possibly show? And I went back to a number of books that I had that talk about what was going on in science fiction in the movies at the time, and there really wasn't anything that fit that, because all the aliens in the movies were pretty much human. And looking at the covers of science fiction magazines from the 30s and 40s, you'd get a whole variety of really weird-looking aliens. And I sent Tom Carey an email in December, and I said, Tom, could this possibly be a mummy? Because that was the only thing I could think of, some kind of a mummy probably discovered in the Southwest simply because the rays lived in the Southwest, and that was where the geological area that he covered was. And Tom said, no, it's not a mummy. We've looked at hundreds and hundreds of pictures of mummies, and this doesn't match. And I suspect now they were looking for an exact match as opposed to kind of a general match. So I was always kind of leery of the thing, and I had posed questions about the provenance of the slides. How do we know they came from the rays? How do we know that they were found in Sedona, Arizona? How do we know all of this stuff? And not only did we not have a good provenance, we couldn't talk to the photographers, we couldn't talk to the people who'd found the slides, but there was no chain of custody, because apparently these were found months, maybe years after Hilda Ray had died in a house that may have been abandoned. We don't know who owned it or anything about it. So the chain of custody was broken in a number of places. So there just wasn't a good linkage of the slides to specific people, and we couldn't question the photographers. So there were a lot of problems with the provenance, and that worried me greatly. And I think on my blog I talked about this a number of times, that I was worried about the provenance.
Yeah. Now, in just going to throw this at you, Kevin, because you were so heavily involved in Roswell research, do you think, and earlier Philip Mantle said that he didn't really believe it would hurt the investigation going on. He thought it would make it more, you know, the publicity would bring more people interested in it. I, myself, I'm not really of that opinion. I think it's kind of a black eye. And what's your opinion on that?
I think it's a black eye as well. I don't see how it can do anything but hurt. If we look at the Air Force investigation that took place in the mid-1990s, when they released their information, most everybody kind of laughed at their idea of anthropomorphic dummies being dropped some 10 or 15 years after the events in Roswell. Today, we now hear people who say, well, yeah, Roswell was just this Mogul balloon, even though the documentation shows it's not a Mogul balloon. The flight was canceled. We have all of that information. We still have that problem. And you can debate that, I think, legitimately among the skeptics and the believers and all of that. You can legitimately debate whether or not the Mogul balloon makes sense. But here is something that blew up in a matter of hours after people received a high-quality, good-resolution scan of one of the slides. Within hours, it was determined that it was a mummy based on what the placard said. And within 24 hours, I think Tony Magalia had found a listing at Mesa Verde in a 1938 publication that talked about the return of the mummy to Mesa Verde, and the verbiage inside that article matched almost exactly the text on the placard that had been uncovered by Kurt and the Roswell Slides research group. And at that point, it's pretty clear that the mummy has been identified. We know where it was. They have since said they removed all the human remains from their displays and had them properly interred, which I think is a wonderful thing for them to have done. But within literally hours of those outside the inner circle getting the information they needed, it was identified exactly what it was. And I cannot see how that can do anything but hurt the entire Roswell investigation, because it suggests a sloppiness in the investigative process that kind of taints all of us because of the way this thing played out.
Right, right. You know, something I kind of threw up in the chat room just to get a little discussion going earlier was, could this, I mean, there's probably too many key people involved, but this could almost be considered a disinformation ploy to make us look like a bunch of bozos. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm sure it isn't, but
it's pretty clear it's not a disinformation ploy. Yeah. I always thought of it, and I said a long time ago that I kind of thought of this as alien autopsy like, because all they had to do was come up with a couple of slides. They didn't have to come up with movie footage. So I think of it as alien autopsy light, but there is a documentary that was being prepared during this whole time. And I think that was the motivation for Adam Du and his people, was to make the documentary. And so they weren't working to resolve what it was with the same vigor that the rest of us should have been looking for it. So I think that's really the motivation, is a money-making ploy by Adam Du and his documentary company.
Yeah, I unfortunately agree with you 100%. And Peggy, who helps us with Facebook, I hope you're listening right now. I hope she's not going to get mad at me, but she's actually was communicating with Adam Du right after this whole thing came out, and he was emailing her back. They had conversations going back and forth, and then once the placard was deblurred, he came out strictly just saying that, you know, it was false. It was done through Photoshop, and you know, I think he's kind of sticking to his guns on that. And before I move on from that, I would like to also ask you what you thought of this. I'm not trying to sling mud, but I don't think that Jaime Musain is going to change what his thoughts are on this. I think he's going to stick to his guns. I may be totally wrong. Do you have any input on that, Kevin?
The only thing I know, and for him, it's through second parties. I have not communicated with him directly. But he seems to be of the opinion we have these experts, the Canadian, I think there's three Mexican pathologists or medical personnel involved in this, who said that it's not human. And he's sticking to that. He's saying, well, how do you explain these guys coming to these conclusions? And I'm thinking they were looking at a freaking slide. So I'm not sure how they made some of these conclusions. That's where they are. Tom Carey released a statement yesterday that I threw up on my blog, and I think it's been up on a number of other locations as well. And Tom is sticking to it as well, and it's the same sort of attitude. But we have these scientists who said it isn't human. And my response is, but we know it is because we found the mummy. Mm-hmm. And it didn't take months and months of searching. Once we had the good quality scans, it was a matter of hours before all of this blew up. So he's sticking to it. Tom is, I think, very, very disturbed and very, very disheartened by this whole thing. But he's sticking with his friends, one of his friends being the Canadian anthropologist. He's sticking with their analysis that the thing is not human, even in light of the fact that the placard has been deblurred. Don had said in an email yesterday that if it could be verified through independent sources that the placard has been deblurred, then he would step up to the plate. And I sent him an immediate email after I saw that, and they said, Don, it's not just the Roswell Slide Group, which you could dismiss if you want to because you're thinking of them as debunkers or skeptics, but there's a lot of other people from at least a half a dozen different arenas saying that's what it says, not to mention the journal article had been found. And so I think Don's attitude is we blew it.
Right. Now, you and I spoke just briefly earlier, later on. Do you want to talk about your conversation you had earlier?
That was kind of the crux of the conversation, was what do we do now? Don was speaking of him and Tom and his group. What do we do now? And my advice was release a statement immediately. As quickly as you can put it out about what happened. Do not point fingers. Do not lay blame. But just basically say, we blew it.
Right.
And I think that's the direction he's going to take. From my discussion with him, we'll have to wait and see exactly how he says it. But from my discussions with him, he realizes they blew it. Mm-hmm. I don't think the blame falls on him. I think that if you look at it and you talk to the people involved in all of this, they were working off what they thought were the best quality scans of the slides provided by Adam Du. And so I think that it's pretty clear that one portion of the slide, if you could see the placard, had been manipulated so it could not be deblurred by anybody else until those other scans appeared. And I think it was Kurt who mentioned that they took the scan off Adam Dude's website after this program appeared or played out, and it was within a couple of hours they were able to see exactly what the placard said, and there's no question that's what it says.
Right.
The game is up at this point. It's done. We know what the slides are.
Exactly. There's just so many things. You know, I don't want to repeat myself, so I'm not going to, but there was just so many things in the situation that was pointing in that direction anyway. Kurt, how many people are you aware of that did independent, separate, deblurring of the placard?
There are quite a few. Christian, oh, I'm trying to remember. We're going to publish a list, and Isaac Coy put something on the Above Top Secret website showing how it could be done and encourage people to try. And in fact, once you know how to do it and get the proper settings, he said, you know, you can do it in 90 seconds. So it's but the trick is knowing how. I can understand, you know, even some of our people, you know, they had to work at it. And some of the early results were really bad. And the first words that came out were made of two. And we said, aha, it's something that's like a fake made out of two different things, like a Fiji mermaid. And as it became clear, we saw it was of a two-year-old boy. And to answer your question, a lot, but I don't have the numbers and names right in front of me. But the thread on ATS will show you some of it. Jeff Ritzman, he did an independent version, and then once he offered help, and he was, you know, just a day or so ago became part of our group, and he was able to really show us how to refine the image and to save it so that it could be shared and. You know, with the technical details. I think Philip Mantle said in the segment with him that he and his friends had done it. And now Adam Dews is saying that he hasn't been able to replicate it. I will say, this is important. I wanted to ask Kevin about Tony Bregalian. I don't know him at all except for when he's insulted me. But he claimed that what we had done was fake, and he probably believed that at the time, but he published, I think, four or five images, scans, and, you know, I'm not a technical guy at all, you know, I barely got this microphone working. The guys that had it, though, they looked at it and they said, this has been processed, this has been bleached out, and they were trying to make it clear, but this isn't something good to work from, and I don't know if their experts were shown anything better, but...
No, they were not. That's the problem. Tony told me specifically this is the slide or the image they were working from, so they couldn't possibly de-blur it because it had been manipulated, so they couldn't. And I think David Rudiak had the same problem. And when you're talking about who else has been able to de-blur it, now that Rudiak has gotten a good copy of the slide, he's been able to de-blur it, as has Frank Warren. So with Philip Mantle's people and everybody else, you know, there's a half a dozen people I'm aware of who've done it independently of Kurt's group who has done it. So it's clear we know what it says. And Tony was the one that actually found the journal article that discussed it as well, using almost the same words. And I know at that point Tony was extremely distressed by the whole thing and being led. But they were working from scans provided by Adam Dew, and those scans I don't think could be deblurred. So there was a lot of manipulation of the slides going on as they were being shared amongst the researchers.
I want to ask a question. Someone on the message board basically said that they're not going to believe these were deblurred until they have evidence of it. Anyone want to address that?
I think the point is, excuse me, Kurt. I think the point is, take a look at what is from the 1938 journal article, which has been sourced, so you can look it up yourselves. I think the people at the museum in Mesa Verde, have said this was a mummy on display in our museum until we removed it because we wanted to treat the human remains as we'd expect our own family members to be treated. So that's really kind of a moot point. It's not an argument of whether the placard says what we think it says. It's now, how did we get to this point?
Okay,
I just wanted to say one thing that, well, you know, he said it better than I could, but I just in an article that I put up today, I collected the information. We found another article matching the mummy, not only describing what was on the placard, but specific details about the part of the blanket around the neck and the fact that the lower leg was missing, and I forget something else. There was, I think, a third descriptive, Well, I suppose some people will doubt anything, especially if it's come from someone they don't agree with. But the description matches the body that's displayed in the Roswell slides pictures.
And the other thing is, there are people who still believe the alien autopsy. And
true.
The guys who made it have even said, yes, we made it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get that yet. And there's people who believe that. So there's going to be a small group of people who are going to not believe it. That it's been resolved, that we know what it is. There's going to be that group of people who are going to reject all the information regardless because they want to believe here are pictures of alien creatures.
That's right. Does anyone know who came up with the clear image, how that got out?
Part of it came from Adam Dew himself off his website.
So someone actually was able to take the image off of Adam Dew's, his own personal website, and
yes.
to blur it?
Yes.
That's what just doesn't make any sense to me, if he actually was claiming that so many people were trying to work on this thing and could come up with nothing. It's a crazy claim to make, really.
I wanted to back up to a couple of things we touched on. You mentioned Jaime Masson. He claims to be issuing a statement, but what he has said so far indicates the belief that even if the placard somehow turns out to be correct, it's... inconsequential, and that the body is that of an alien. Now,
oh, I see. So it's a disinformation thing.
No,
They put a placard in front of a mummy placard in front of an alien.
Yeah, they just the museum got it wrong. They hadn't seen an alien.
I love it.
So,
wow.
Kevin, can I ask you? Are you familiar with the owners of the slides? The people that did? Do you know that story? Because
yeah.
It's okay. It's out now.
Which version?
Oh, well, I don't know the true story, but I mean, I know the names of the people. That's all. I don't know what they're up to, but I know that there's been an effort to keep them secret. The man is a Joseph Beeson, and he's a partner in Slidebox Media, the company.
Well,
I don't know if his sister.
He's an IT guy. He was an IT guy.
Yeah, he designed their website, the Slidebox Media website too. So, you know, I'm assuming he's right back there, right along with them, all along. Supposedly,
yeah.
I really don't know much more than that. I know that, you know, it was his sister, as the story goes, found the slides, and she appeared in the program, Be Witness.
And the question I've always asked, and I haven't been able to get an answer to, is how do you find these slides and then assume that they're an alien creature? How do you make that leap?
Exactly. I've been saying that since the beginning.
I don't want to insult these people too much because they've done a really good job of shooting themselves in the foot. But Kevin, you know, you've investigated all this time. You've gone out, you've looked, you talked to people, and they claim to have done the same thing in archaeological digs. And, you know, that can be demonstrated. But then after, whatever, 20 years, you get an email from somebody that says, I've got a picture of an alien. You know, you can't produce with this work, and then that just, I don't know, that's, I would be highly suspicious. I know they said they were, but
I think what happened here is Beeson and Dew were the ones that came forward with the slide and approached Tom Carey and talked to him about it. And I know that there was some reticence on the part of Carey and Schmidt to accept this as an alien, and what was sort of the convincing factor was some of the expert opinion saying this is not a mummy, this is not a human being, this is a, I think it, one of the guys said it's a creature that evolved on another planet, and it's more reptilian than human. And I think that was part of the thing that convinced them that here are these experts in human anatomy, human evolution, human biology, who were saying these sorts of things about the picture, the slide. And I think that went away, went a long way of convincing the others that there was this was something alien. And I have a hard time wrapping my head around how you could be dragged to that point. Mm-hmm. Given what we've seen now, but by the same token, they were never given. I think Don saw the slides one time in a restaurant, and he had to use a jeweler's loupe to examine them, so he didn't get a good look at them. From that point on, they worked from scans that were provided by Dew. And apparently the scans were, well, as I said, the scans were apparently manipulated. And Don had said that he didn't, he thought the second slide only showed the head. He didn't realize it was the whole body. And he didn't see that slide until Tuesday when they were in Mexico City. So I think there was some of that going on. And you've got other people. You've got Dew ambushing a 90-year-old guy in his driveway, who is one of the only people who claimed to have seen the bodies back in 1947, ambushing him in his driveway and with a camera crew, trying to get him to say that, yeah, this is what I saw. This is exactly what I saw, as a way of connecting it to the Roswell case.
Right. You know, before, I just want to make this quick announcement because I forgot to say it earlier. I mentioned that Peggy was in communication with Adam Dew the last number of days, and we did formally invite him on this show. And for some strange reason, we haven't heard back from him. So,
I will also tell you that Don and Tom have not heard from him in a couple of days, too, and they've sent him a number of emails asking questions about things. And they've gone, Dew and Beeson have gone silent.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that. Totally believe that.
We contacted him as soon as we had our results. When we had the top line, there was the first two things we could read were, I think, what most people get on the first try, and that's the top line and then to San Francisco. It takes a lot of work to get the rest of it. And in our early results, we had a bunch of things blacked out. But we sent it to Adam and said, you know, what's going on? And he replied, your Photoshop work is not good. Even visually, it is obvious. So he rejected it. You know, in a sense, called it fake and us liars and things like that. And he called us internet trolls too. So, which, you know, is probably true for some of the guys some of the time. If you have read much of Lance Moody's communication, but you know, he's got his softer side too. So,
right.
I keep telling him. He needs to tone down the rhetoric in the comments section.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, that's something about our own comments. You know, this was really born on a blog. I mean, that's how the story and the interest, I mean, I have to admit, that's why I got into it and started talking about it with the guys. And all these stories at Rich Reynolds, and it seemed like he really fueled the debate. And then once it blew up, he deleted all his material on it.
Well, you'll have to discuss Rich Reynolds with Rich Reynolds. So, the way the story got out has always bothered me, because apparently, from what I've been told, somebody had gone to Midland to research the rays, and someone overheard a conversation as they were talking about this and called Nick Redfern and gave him some of the information. And Redfern was the one that gave it to Rich Reynolds, and he was the one that published it on his blog. So that was how I first learned about it, was when Reynolds published it on his blog. But according to other information I've got now, is it was Beeson who was down in Midland looking into the rays. And I'm just wondering if there was an actual trip to Midland to look into the background of the rays, and if Beeson or somebody just didn't call Nick Redfern to kind of stir the pot, get things going.
I have a question up on the message board, and either one of you can answer it if you'd like. Do you believe that Carrie Schmidt and Bregelia, et cetera, Jaime, all of them, do you think they are still credible researchers?
Well, I'm going to say no, but I'm going to leave it to that.
And what's your – do you care to chime in on
– Their credibility has taken a major hit.
Yeah.
And there's no way to deny it because of what has happened. I mean, if you go back and you look at the statements they made publicly, you go back and look at the statements that were on the Internet, the documentaries they put out, some of the stuff that Jaime had put out as a publicity for the program – and you listen to those statements and you compare it to with what we know now, the credibility has taken a major hit. And I think Don and Tom both know that. I think Tony's has taken a lesser hit simply because he is now on the record as
right.
saying, yeah, it's a mummy. So his credibility isn't damaged as much. But it clearly it had to have damaged their credibility.
Right, right. And what about accountability? And when I say that, someone was suggesting, at least these people should get a refund. And I know, perhaps it could make someone go bankrupt with all the expenses. But anyone want to chime in on that?
It's complicated. The thing is, if they had not, it would have never come together without the slides. They presented some information on Roswell, but it's tainted by everything else. I think as far as it being connected with Roswell, you have to throw it all away. And it does put a stink on it. But, I personally, I don't want to get into it. I'm not that interested in Roswell. But it, as a show, it was
that Kevin's on the other side, right?
Oh, I do. I respect his work. Look, with Roswell, all I can say about it is, even if you disagree with it, there are things to examine, investigate, and everything. And if there's a UFO case, first of all, you want there to be a UFO. The story didn't actually have one. You want there to, it's the first thing you have to have is a UFO report. And I don't consider a picture a UFO report, because you can have a picture of a blurred thing or a bird or something like that that no one actually saw, and it shows up in a picture. So what's key to a UFO report is a person, and it can be supported by a picture. Then you've got something to talk about, documents, all that helps. But, this was a picture, and from the picture, they tried to make a story around it. And they said, okay, well, here's a picture. This looks like Mamie Eisenhower. The first step in the trip was false. The journey ended up in a false direction. So I don't even remember what I started talking about. But that's
I do
that
all the time, so it's okay.
Well, that's a sign you're getting old.
Yeah.
I was going to interrupt just to say that Roswell's a nice little town, so you shouldn't be uninterested in Roswell. It's a nice little town, but
okay.
That's a whole other argument.
Yeah. Well, some people would say we should be talking about Corona, so anyway. Well, thank goodness Corona didn't have their reputation smeared.
There's another question up here. Is the suggestion correct that the first release of information about the slides may have come from Rich Reynolds' site? Wasn't Carrie the first person contacted?
I'm not sure that's true. There may have been somebody else contacted first, and I'm trying to verify that.
I see.
But even so, the first public information came from Rich Reynolds' site.
Mm-hmm.
So that we as the public learned about the slides at that point, and the public investigation began from that point, but there was little that came out of the slides camp. And I know Tom and Don signed non-disclosure agreements, and they worked very hard to honor those agreements.
But didn't that also torpedo the whole thing, the fact that they couldn't share information?
I think so. I think the one lesson to be taken away from this is that had the information been shared sooner, of course, the presentation in Mexico City wouldn't have taken place because we all had the answers. And I think
right.
that what we should take away from this is, and it doesn't need to be any kind of a formalized coalition, but there should be a loosely based coalition of people who are interested enough in the topic that we say, well, we've got this case. Can you help me solve it? Or, what do you make of this? What is your area expertise going to help me understand more about this case? And that's sort of what has happened with the look at the slides, but it's something that should go on. We should facilitate that so that we have that sharing of information without everybody sort of sitting on their little piece of it. And people had criticized Len Stringfield for his status reports, but that was kind of what he was doing. I have this piece of information. I don't know that much about it, but I'm hoping that if I publish this, somebody else who knows something about it will be able to resolve this case. And I think, you know, that's kind of what we ought to take away from this, is we need to create this community, a real community coalition that will look at these things without saying, I can't believe you because you're Lance Moody and you're a skeptic, or I can't believe you because you're Kevin Randall and you're a believer in this sort of thing. It's, what is your expertise? Can you help us understand this further?
I totally agree. That sounds great. You know, I don't know how much time we've got, but there were a few things you talked about. Accountability. Okay. Well, you talked about accountability. You know, this is blown up. There's a lot of people agitated. You know, some people are driven to malaise. I think other people are driven to mania. And, you know, it's caused a fury. There's been a backlash. Some people are, it sounds like they're calling for Richard Dolan's head. And I think, you know, I was wondering, it's like, you know, in some ways, you know, he's a historian, and it's, you know, some people rightly or wrongly look at public figures as role models. And by appearing at some events like this and others that are fairly questionable, I'm wondering if, I kind of look at him as a Pied Piper. I think he's leading people in the wrong direction.
Kevin, did you want to comment on that?
A number of years ago, I was at a convention in Phoenix, Arizona, that I went to because I wanted to go to Mesa to see to look for the lost Adams diggings, and I didn't find it. But one of the reporters there said to me that I sounded fairly credible. I don't know what I'd done to bring on that opinion, but that's what she said. And said, doesn't it hurt your credibility to show up at a venue with some of these other people? And I said, if we do not show up to give the credible side of the story, then it looks like everything is sort of in the world of woo-woo. And so we kind of have an obligation to present a more credible scientific point of view than some of these other people whose credibility isn't the greatest. And I'm thinking specifically of Harley Byrd, who was at one point the nephew of Admiral Byrd, and then pretty soon he became a grandson of Admiral Byrd, so he got promoted in that way. But Harley Byrd was one of the people there and not presenting the most credible programming. And so we have to look at it from that point of view, too. You know, if we all boycott those venues, then we lose by default.
Oops. I have absolutely no idea how that just happened, everyone. I apologize. This has been one of those shows. I'm not even on anywhere that could have been clicked, so I apologize for that. We only have, I think we only have a couple minutes left here, and I'm waiting for a countdown. And there was so much more I wanted to say because this, you know, it just seems like it's short. I'm not really going to talk about this anymore after tonight, but, you know, being in the antique estate sale business and all that. Okay, we have 1 minute left. I understand how this person that originally got it looked through and thought they had something special, but when they came to that particular slide, I can't imagine how they thought, well, that's an alien slide, and someone that does estate sales, they're going to want to make money. So I'm sure that's how this whole thing was perpetuated. And we only have like 30 seconds left. If anyone wants to quickly comment on that,
well, I want to encourage Kevin to write up the sentiments he just expressed about sharing information, and the secrecy was a problem in this. I think a lot of progress can be made by sharing information and listening to other people, and I think that is the sad lesson in this and the way to start rebuilding the credibility of the UFO field.
All right. I wish we could talk longer, everyone. We have to wrap it up for tonight. Thanks, both of you, very much for being on, And Kevin, I want you back on the show again. Kurt, you've been on a few times, and always you're always welcome. So that's it for our show tonight. I want to thank everyone for helping out. Next week, we have Eric von Däniken on. I'm pretty excited about that. And after that, well, that's hour one, hour two, we have Barbara Harris. And I want to thank everyone for helping out. Peggy Shunning for managing the Postbook, the Facebook page. Postbook, that's a pretty good one. And I want to thank, Carrie Lloyd, Whitehouse, and Bruce Rainier for the music. And if you check out our website, we have a new blog just went up. Michael Lauk just wrote a blog. It's on NASA and ancient aliens. And thank you all very much, and looking forward to being back next week, same time, Wednesday, at Dark Matter Radio Network. This is Martin Willis. Keep your eyes to the sky.